friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you guys?
It's morning. Yes.
I know. It's crazy because I was feeling so drowdy when I came in this morning and two cups of coffee and I'm cha-cha-ching.
You're like, here we go.
I know we had Bunko last night and so I was.
Oh, yeah. How was it? Sorry, Lisa and I couldn't make it.
But. I know. It's okay.
Well, we had the most amazing interview.
I know. It's so cute. I wish I could have made it up in time to go to it.
Yeah.
I just love
that. It was electric. Yes. The word I would use is was magnetic. I like just hearing the way they spoke about each other. I was like, holy smokes.
I know.
They have such a unique love story that I was like, oh, wow. It's unique, but it's not uncommon. At the same time.
Well, anyway. Which brought up the question for Lisa and I again. Mm-hmm. Is there love at first sight? Does that truly exist?
Right.
Oh. These two, yes.
I know.
There is no doubt that they both fell in love at first sight.
Well, and they've been together for, quite a while now, and they still have that
energy you can between see them. It.
I know. It's just and it's hard. Almost like, get a room.
Well, it's hard not to fall into their energy,
Like
Lisa and
so
I just were so, I mean, we got so excited talking to them and listening to their story. I want to just sit back and watch and listen to you guys like a movie.
They could totally be a movie. I remember one time we were meeting up and she was like, she's sorry. I got a call. I had to go have a makeout session in the parking lot.
And this is 10 years later. Yeah, so I'm wow.
Yeah. So for you listeners, it's our interview with Melinda and Luke.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Listen to it. They are amazing.
It was a lot of fun.
That was super fun.
I enjoyed it. But so for you listeners out there, I just want to say for side hustler there. This is a really interesting question. What would you do?
Oh, yeah.
What would you do?
Oh, yeah. We got some
side
letters.
Hustler.
Yes. And for this particular person, the second question, if you were to go to myperfectromance.com and fill in the form field, the second question is okay, so here's your alias. How long have you been together? So these people are not together.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's just to preclude,
exactly.
That this is what's going on. So here we go. A close friend of mine who has been on the dating scene for over a year without any luck has recently started dating a very engaging, supportive, fun man. He sends her flowers to work, buys her gifts. He shows up for her. They see each other every day. She is falling for him hard. And I am so happy for her to find such a good guy after so many duds. Until I met him.
That's never a good...
No, it's...
Yeah, he was love bombing her for sure. Let me explain what happened when we met. I was at a party. When we were introduced, he gave me an uncomfortably long, lingering hug. Then...
Was it a
caressing
baby
hug?
Yeah, were that hand... How low was the hand on the back?
How tight was he pressing into her?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long was the hug?
He's leaning.
Yeah. Shoot. I'm curious, what's the height differential?
Oh, that's a good point.
Because there can be different contact points.
I love the fact that, just for context, Lisa is 5'9", gorgeous girl and such. And so
I'm the average height of a man. So
and so
contact points are pretty spot on.
Yeah. I'm little. So
yeah, and I'm in the middle.
I'm tiny. My contact point is
so for a tall guy. You're hello, belly button.
Or below.
I see a little lift in there.
Oh, I can see. But so Courtney, true. The boys are like, hey, you know, this is just convenient for you, right?
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, contact.
Okay. Sorry. I will refrain from drinking so much coffee before we engage.
It's kind of exciting when you do.
We need to stop at one cup.
It's like a glass of wine. After one, you're like, what the hell?
10 more.
Okay. I love it. It's better than wine, actually. So long lingering hug. Then he cornered me to talk about his ex for an extensive period of time. The next time I saw him, we were at another event where my friend and him came together. He waited.
This guy sounds like a classic love bomber.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Maybe. He waited for an opportune time when she was gone to approach me and then invited me out for coffee, asking for my number. Being surprised and a little shocked, I defaulted to social norms and gave him my number.
Well, maybe he was just like wanting to do something nice for the friend. So we still don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's see.
I love that.
All right.
Then he sent me a flirtatious text.
Okay. Never mind.
Almost immediately after we parted ways. Like immediately. So he's prowling hard. I ignored his text, but I don't know what I should do about my friend.
Oh, wow.
What should I do?
That is so hard.
Yeah.
It's pretty loaded. So there's a couple things. Like, obviously, they're all single.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't know their age range. I can tell, like, back in my day.
A billboard place school.
Right? Like, back when I was dating, like, my dating style was, I would say, unique amongst my friend group. They didn't appreciate that I wasn't the kind to settle down immediately.
Yeah, but that's what dating is.
That's exactly what dating is. That's how I always thought.
Yeah.
And I stick to my guns on that one. Like, I don't want to settle down because I don't know you.
Yeah.
There could be a lot of efficiency. Was I super open about that with everyone? I was like, yeah, we can go out next week because I'm already booked. Like, we'll hang out sometime. Like, I'm not serious and I'm going to make out with other guys too. I'm not holding you back. I'm not jealous. I'm dating.
Yeah.
I'm seeing what there is.
You date too.
Yeah.
So first of all, what do you think this guy's prerogative is?
I wonder if they've defined, like, if her friend has defined their relationship. Like, I'm curious.
I think, you know what? I love you because I think that's the real thing here. The real thing here is, what
is she doing anything wrong?
Where is, have they defined? Because honestly, I think you're right. I think a lot of people assume exclusivity.
You go on one date and now you're an item.
Yeah, that we went on a date, so we are seeing each other until one of us dumps the other one.
Yeah.
Which is so
lame, because that's not dating.
That's not dating.
But it sounds to me like they are, without maybe her telling us that they're together, but
they're
spending
seeing each other every single day.
He's sending her flowers. But how would she not feel like that was
a close relationship?
They're having an exclusivity.
I will say, if I was to the point I was seeing someone every single day, that would mean I'm probably not seeing other people because I'm so enamored by that person that I would have ruled everyone else.
So it brings me back to, like, what's his game? What is he trying to do here? Is he trying to just be with this one woman and then maybe have, like, like a bunch of side hustles? Mm-hmm. Or is he just trying to, like,
is he polyamorous? Is he, you know, I think
I looked this up the other day.
Okay.
Because I was, like, just curious. I'm like, really? How many people are actually polyamorous? Like, who identify as polyamorous?
Okay.
Guess.
Well, is the definition of polyamorous?
Someone who is openly, I think, in relationships with multiple people.
Okay.
And is capable of loving multiple people.
Okay.
Poly meaning multiple, amorous love.
But okay. I wonder, lots of love, like, to go around.
Did I define it wrong?
I don't know.
It's my definition.
For me, I think there's a difference between saying that you are polyamorous because you want to get down and dirty with multiple people and actually having a polyamorous attitude where you don't think other people loving other people. You don't think that love needs to be with, you know, like
exclusive.
If I love you, it doesn't mean that I love them less.
But also, so doesn't to me, have to I think be an sexual attitude. Intercourse.
It just depends on the thing. So I think it comes down to, I feel like a lot of people throw that term around, and I have seen, I'm friends with couples who actually, you know, truly are polyamorous in nature. And that,
what is the nature? Because I to me, literally love everybody.
I know, that's what I think. So that's to
that
me. To me, that is more
but
what
I don't. Yeah,
to me, that's more what polyamorous, it, you know, like, but, and to me, I think that people who engage in intimate, sexually intimate polyamorous relationships.
There has to be a sexual component, like a physical
well,
intimacy.
Well, I think that that's the way that our society kind of does it. But
I feel like everyone should be polyamorous in an asexual way.
I agree with you.
See, yeah, me too.
See, but here's the thing,
the world
too.
Would be a better place.
So let me ask you this. Some people call that cheating.
But I said asexual. That's how I want the world to be.
But also, this gets into a real intimacy conversation. Because Lisa, I'm going to call you out on this in a little bit. Because like, you also don't believe that men and women can have asexual intimacy.
I think,
from my understanding,
for them to be friends.
Yes.
And like the way that I define a friendship. And I'm not just saying like your acquaintances, but somebody that you care about
deeply.
And that you deeply like, because I will say I have a small handful of friends.
Me
like,
too.
Like very small people that like I know have my back and I have their back.
Mm-hmm.
People I can count on. That I share my secrets with.
Absolutely.
Like, it's a very select few people.
Me too.
That I'm going to say are in that level of intimacy in my life.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are men except for my husband. Mm-hmm. Because if I shared that level of intimacy with another person, it would turn sexual because there's going to be an attraction.
Mm-hmm. So, but
it now, would. So I won't do it ever, 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 ever.
But here's the thing too. I mean, now,
because that's safe
like
for my husband.
Social norm boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
There's not the stigmas that there were in the past about, you know, who can be with who.
Well,
I mean, and so
you
what's
also
to
have
say,
to respect the boundaries
what's to say,
of your
Lisa,
partner.
That you're not going to fall in love with me.
I mean, I am in love with you. We all know this.
I am in love with Courtney too. I'm like, I guess I'm sorry. I guess I'm cheating on both of you.
No, but it's not sexual. Because
it's not.
I know that I am not attracted to women. I think women are beautiful.
Yes,
but I'm
exactly.
Not sexually attracted
but so,
to women.
So,
yeah. But you, if I were, we'd be banging.
So I mean, this.
Sorry, Bob.
This person.
This is true. Like,
I know.
This woman who's asking the question. I mean,
have to pop this. Sorry,
that's okay. This woman who's asking the question. Maybe this guy. Okay, so. She's comes from maybe your perspective in a way. It's like, mm-hmm. No, I'm not like friendship with this person. It's a no, like it doesn't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
Because
yeah.
You are dating my friend. It like, so I don't even want to be like, even
yes.
Try to be friends mm-hmm. with you.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like,
because it feels
even
like
if that's
you,
his,
yeah.
Even if that's his MO, like,
mm-hmm.
He might, that's maybe exactly it. It's purely nothing. He's like,
I'm
hey,
this way with everyone.
I like you. You're my friend. You're my girlfriend or my lover's friend. And mm-hmm. I want to be friends with you too.
Yeah. And I tend to be a little bit more wormy towards everyone, I think, mm-hmm. than a lot of other people. So mm-hmm. I probably have more of his personality,
mm-hmm.
You know, in that respect. But I think the main thing comes down to, it doesn't sound like things are defined.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like
maybe not to him.
To him. You know, and also does he know himself? Like, I know myself.
But yeah. To me, when I'm reading it, like
it sounds
from
it
the
sounds
girl
shady.
To girlfriend, like the yeah. friends, like she's very clearly aware that her friend is enamored by him. She's
yes.
excited about him.
And yeah. it feels like it's exclusive. And
yes.
so it I
so
agree with you. The question
is,
here is it sounds like the
what
communication.
What do you do with your friend? What do you tell your friend?
I know. You know, this is a tough one because Owen's girlfriend in high school, she knew that Owen's friend had cheated. You know, they're all friends.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Owen's friend, mm-hmm. Owen's girlfriend knew mm-hmm. that Owen's friend had cheated on Owen's girlfriend's friend. Mm-hmm. It's like a long way away to get around.
No, I totally get it.
She didn't say anything to the friend, but then when the friend found out,
she stopped being friends.
Stopped being friends with her. Like all, you know, like because typical like, group of girls.
You should have said something. Yeah. You didn't know. I can't trust you as a friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like basically you're damned if you do. You're damned, if you don't. So like she is in a sticky situation. She doesn't want to be like Owen's girlfriend and not say anything. And then have the friend gets mad and say like, this didn't work out. Why did you say
so? How can she be a good friend to, how can she?
Guys. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, so what? Would you do?
Yeah, because you're kind of damned
like
if you
do. Like, how do you talk to your friend about this?
I think the best approach is to maybe, as a friend, ask your friend, have you defined your relationship yet? Like, so just say, like, I don't know how to, like, so have you guys, how do you do that? Or just ask her, what is the current protocol for defining a relationship? When you're in a relationship with someone now, like,
Are you guys exclusive? Or are you hoping to be? Because even if she's hoping to be, like,
yeah.
That and maybe change. You ask her to just say, like, so how does it work now? Are you still checking your dating profiles for, like, oh, if you get text from a new person on Match.com,
yeah.
Right now, Right.
Okay. So we're going now the damned if you do. Like you're telling your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is she going to hold it against you?
Is she going to hold it against you that you are telling her like that you have some concerns?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What do you think? Depends on your friendship.
How can you? Yes. And it's like maybe she does need to throw up some. Okay. Here's maybe what she needs to do. She might want to just throw some little seeds in there, mm-hmm. plant some seeds mm-hmm. without really saying anything. Like maybe you say, so
would the seed look like this? So someone the other day told me that this guy hit on him.
Yeah.
Like just like you can make up some chance encounter. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know what I think about that. Maybe something to look for.
Yeah.
And just plant that little seed. That's you doing it delicately.
Or I wouldn't even, I don't even know that I would go for needing to like say that. I just would just be like, so I would just ask the questions. When do you like, so are you guys, so like, are you checking your profiles now? At what point are people now considering themselves exclusive? And how does that conversation look? Like, how did you go about doing it? Like, where are you at? Like, I don't know how to do this. Ask your friend to give you advice on the topic. Mm-hmm. So how do you figure out, like, nowadays, how do you know if you're exclusive? Like, what's allowed, what's not allowed? How do you bring up those conversations? Yeah. Like, how did you bring it up in your situation? But, have you guys had that conversation
yet? But I want to say one thing. That if a guy who is clearly, like, interested in your friend mm-hmm. starts hitting on someone who he knows is their friend, he's a dirty, dirty fucking dog. Yeah. And stay the hell away from him, number one.
Yeah.
But I feel like
it's kind of
I want to warn my friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Because she probably can't see that this dog is shitting all over the neighborhood.
Yeah. So what, like,
I would have the hardest time shutting my mouth.
There's some red flags here.
You do not hit on your friend. You're a dirty, dirty dog.
Yeah. So there's obviously some red flags that she's seeing, but her friend isn't. So maybe you just pull
because
those up a little bit.
Like when you're falling in love with someone, you think they're perfect.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And obviously he's doing this mm-hmm. like not where she is.
It's kind of true. So he waited until she left the part, the gathering or whatever, before he went over. It's not like he came over and was like, oh, having this conversation with his girlfriend right there in front, you know what I'm saying? It didn't sound like that was the situation. He wasn't just having this conversation with his girlfriend there and then just saying, oh, you know what?
Oh, yeah, like asking for the number in front of his
girlfriend. Because Yeah. It was, he waited until the girlfriend had left and then came over. So it's this slight sneakiness that I think feels off. And that's what makes me feel.
That's like a personality thing.
So
like,
that's the difference.
Gonna do it again and again and again.
Yeah. So the sneakiness is what bothers me in this. Not that he let's all be friends.
How do you, okay, the red flags. He's
so many.
Hugged her way too long.
But if he did that in front of his girlfriend, I'm going to give that a pass because maybe he's just a long hugger. Yeah. But if he's hugging her differently when his girlfriend,
that is a red flag. So maybe you can say, maybe she can say something along the line, just so that her friend starts being aware of it. Like, oh, every time he is around girls, he gives them long love. Like, I don't know if I like that.
I've had this exact scenario happen to me where like I was the one that the friend was away and the guy was hitting on me.
Okay.
And
I remember this happened to you.
Yeah.
In time.
Yeah.
I will say in time. That dirty, dirty dog, like he ruined my friendship.
Yeah.
And
her college
to
roommate.
Save
yeah.
face.
Yeah.
For himself.
Yeah.
And he totally lied.
Yeah.
And I was like, seriously?
Oh, yeah.
So I should have said something sooner.
Yes.
Because that asshole like turned it on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like the sneakiness about this. That's the thing that bothers me is that if she knows that he's a long hugger, if he's long hugging in front of her, but it doesn't feel like that's what's happening. It feels like that's what the friend is picking up on. The friend is picking up on that.
He's a sneaky.
There's something sneaky going on. It's not that this is just, if this was just his personality and her friend knew that, oh, this is, my boyfriend's a long hugger, whatever. Does he give his guy friends hugs too? Because, I'm a touchy-feely person.
Yeah.
And but I don't change my behavior. But when Bob's around, I'm the exact same as when Bob's not around.
So she needs to, I think, subtly help her friend be aware of these things, right? Mm-hmm. So what
she
do
needs
you
to get her
say?
Rose-colored glasses off of her friend.
Yeah, so you like, I think she needs to say a couple of things so her friend starts being aware of this.
I have an idea. Okay. So as a friend, you could just go, he's really he's really affectionate. Like, he's a long hugger. Like, she could just say, she's just like, wow, he's really like, he's a long hugger and stuff. Like, just so then the friend can say these things are happening, but not put a judgment against it. Like, oh, he's a long hugger. And she can just say too, like, so has he asked your other friends for their phone numbers and stuff like that to get know them better too? Has he asked your other, has he asked our other friends to get to know?
Way,
so
actually.
Just be like, just sort of like, that. Just sort of like, so is that how are you feeling?
In a non-judgmental way.
Okay. Yeah, non-confrontational way. Just giving her
Make
the information.
Her question things.
But you yes. don't. You're okay. not making her decision for her. You're just going. Wow, I'm so not used to having.
Like
a
friend's boyfriend.
Like that. Just like
is
just
that
like,
okay? I mean, like, or, you know, well, like, not even like that.
Yeah, not even like that. Just be sort of, just kind of be like, all, whoa, he's really, engaged in your life. Like he wants to go out for coffee with me and stuff like that. And just sort of like, I'm not used to that. So just sort of like, you guys do that in your relationship. That's okay.
Like, not that I want to go out for coffee with you, but are you okay with that?
Yeah. Just sort of like, are you going out with his friends too? Like, that's kind of, I'm not used to this kind of thing. Yeah, is that cool within your guys' relationship?
Yeah. Like, it's great. He wants to be super engaged in your life and is like reaching out to your
friends and
to
stuff like
coffee.
That.
You know,
yeah,
is that,
like,
what do you think?
Yeah, like
or
that,
not even what do you think?
Like, just, or you can just say that too. I don't know how to navigate this because I mean, I think that's sweet. I'm not used to having guy friends becoming friends. So just like he is very engaged and he is very involved.
How,
and so,
how nice of him to reach out to your friend. So, wants to be
a dirty dog.
Yeah, you're not calling
him a dirty dog. You're opening the conversation.
You're opening the conversation non-judgmentally.
Yeah.
And you're just putting the information out there like, wow, I'm not used to that. I don't know how I feel about that.
I love it.
But this is your opportunity, because the second you start that, then she's going to start defending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this isn't about that. And first off, you also don't know.
You don't know the terms.
You don't know the terms of their relationship. Yep. Yeah. You don't know. You don't have enough information. You're looking at it from a, this is what I've always expected. You don't know if they've had their relationship defining terms.
Yeah.
You don't know if that's okay. You're still letting her know.
And she may start to be aware.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She can start looking for, and then maybe she needs to say, oh, hey, I need to have a conversation with you. I didn't think I needed to have with you.
Yeah.
So, like mm-hmm. where are we at? And just, where are we at? Because it also sounds like, I think that he's a little sneaky. It sounds like he's a sneaky person. Absolutely. And he's going to walk that tightrope of, mm-hmm. well, we didn't say we couldn't, so why can't I? Right. You know, or, yeah. And if he isn't engaged, and it may just be, you know, because I'll step up here. You know, I'm a hugger. Mm-hmm. I'm flirty. I am. But I don't
that's
change
your personality.
I don't change my behavior when my I don't change my
think
behavior.
Think anybody that's with you needs to know that about you. I know. And they will within minutes.
I know, yeah. But I don't change my behavior when my husband's around and when my husband's not around.
Yeah.
And that I'm definitely like. Yeah. Yes, that's the thing that feels like if there's ever an
so
element.
We definitely know he's a dirty dog. But we're not going to.
Well, it's feeling like he's not the same person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And I hate to say it, that is such an important quality in your partner.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is, because you should be able to own your personality. Them. And you shouldn't. And if he is, you know, I am flirty.
Yeah, but no.
But I'm trustworthy.
When someone is lying and being sneaky.
Sneaky is
not
okay.
Yeah,
sneaky is not okay. Being who you are is okay.
Going to erode a relationship.
But being sneaky is not. And you noticing there's a sneaky characteristic here.
Yeah.
So, like, people, be true to yourself. If you're polyamorous, be polyamorous. If you're flirty, be flirty. If you don't like that, don't like that. Yeah. Everything is okay if you're honest about it.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. Well, I think we nailed that one. Good job, Valerie. I love that.
It's a suave way to do that.
Yeah.
So just act like it's okay within the relationship and ask about it. Just be like, this is new for me. That's kind of
information, no judgment.
This is kind of cool. Information, no judgment.
Okay. So I, rather than do a second one, because I wanted to share with you guys and I want to share with the world.
Yes,
Like in this book, I have it stuffed full of receipts. mostly like related to traveling. So this tends to be my travel book.
Yeah, actually, I want to look.
Because it's like one of those non-committal books. Like sometimes when you travel, you think you're going to have like a beach read and get to finish a book.
Has that ever happened in real life?
I mean, no. But this is the kind of book that you can pick up and you can chew on it and set it aside for a week, a month, a year, come back to it.
Yeah.
Or you... I wouldn't say it's the kind of book that you're not going to read from cover to cover. It's called 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. And it is written by Brianna West. And it was copyrighted in 2017. I was introduced to it while vacationing with my niece. She was reading that. And I was like, what is this?
We need to have your niece on sometime.
Kelsey.
This is your rollerblade niece, right?
Yeah.
I love her. Alice Doors. I feel like I know her a little bit, but I don't.
I feel like we need to do a road trip to Utah.
Well, she's about to get her own apartment. We'll go crash her apartment.
We have your family. We have my family. Yeah. We could just do like a whole slew of interviews.
I love it.
Utah.
And do our road trip. She'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
I love asking her, like, what does this mean? Like, how does dating happen now? Like, what?
Yeah.
How do you approach? She's just got so much fun stuff to say.
Well, if she's a young lady who's reading 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think,
mm-hmm.
I like her already.
I love her. So anyway, like, this is just chock full of things. And I love that it helps you start to think a little bit more critically about how you think. Okay. Metacognition. Like, it's so important for us to have a self-awareness of, like, maybe the way I'm thinking about this isn't entirely correct and I'm skewing it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Like, so challenging your way of thinking is something that every single human on this planet needs to do. And I think that Brianna West, and I should spell her name out so that if you want to look this up, you can. It's B-R-I-A-N-N-A. And it's actually W-I-E-S-T. So maybe I should be saying Weist.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, Brianna Weist. And I think it's, I've gone through maybe 50% of these.
Well, can we read this one?
But this one is centered around, relationships, because we're all about that. Mm-hmm. So the one question to ask yourself, if you're tired of fighting for someone's love.
Okay.
And I think that in any relationship, if it's gone on long enough, like, you're going to feel that way once in a while.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I think this is something to reframe and go back to.
I also think that it's at some point in any healthy or long-term or, both, both people feel this way. And
exactly.
You got to hope that your partner's stepping up when you're having moments.
I have to say, like, sometimes the couples that I talk to, like, that have been together forever, I'm like, what's your secret? They say, just don't fall out of love at the same time.
It's true.
That's how you can, keep yourself in a long-term relationship. This article on page 135, the one question to ask yourself if you're tired of fighting for someone's love, because it doesn't matter, like, if you're not even in a relationship, you're fighting to get in one, to get in love, or to stay in love. Like, I think this is such a universal experience.
A deficit attitude opposed to...
So what is this one question? I think we're going to maybe get to it. So, some things to chew on.
Because
and
we...
It is interesting. Like the first part, she kind of talks about all that. We talk all about how to get love, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you wear this, you're going to be more attractive. If you learn these things, you're going to be more interesting. If you
present yourself this way.
Yeah. Like,
that's your eyes. You got to pout your lips like this.
Yeah. All of these things to get love, right? But we just don't talk about how to give love, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's all about how to get it. But the truth is, you cannot convince someone to love you if they don't, which is absolutely...
I can make you
more. Right?
So, Bonnie, right? So you can do everything you possibly can to get love.
Yes.
But if...
You can check off every single box there is, but you cannot force someone to love you.
Love is a cycle. It's a connection. It's, you can't force the connection. You are only one part of the circuit. Mm-hmm. If someone else is throwing roadblocks, you can't do it. And it's about the flow.
I think we need to understand what love is and why you can't convince someone to give it to you.
Do you want
to
know what love is?
Let's talk about that. I want to know what love is. Okay. I was off key to begin with, so I had to ruin it. Sorry.
You had to put in your life.
I did.
Old man.
So I think, and then I like this. This is something to think about, what love actually is. It's not something you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually something you experience.
That's so true.
Yes. And that exchange requires an equal and honest and willing contribution on each side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love is about connection.
Love is about connection.
It is.
It's not about getting everything you want. It's not about giving everything you want
to
give.
And it can have nothing to do with giving, getting, whatever.
Absolutely.
So, that brings me back to Luke and Melinda, who we interviewed.
Okay.
They definitely are giving each other love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, constantly.
It's a flow of energy.
And it's between both of them.
And I think it's in little moments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could just think of so many little things, like, and it was me recognizing those things too. Mm-hmm. Like, that a little hug, like, oh, that was thoughtful. Or you just asking me about your day, how are you feeling? Like, mm-hmm.
showing up and
showing up. Like, you know what? That wasn't somebody giving anything. It was me recognizing this exchange and this connection and like that care. Like
they have myelinated their neurons.
Yeah. Okay. And it's not something that anyone owes you in life.
Mm-mm.
It's got to be an equal exchange.
Yeah.
You can't get something if you're not giving it
in return
when it comes to love.
Well, and I think that that's the whole point. The whole point is
it's not transactional.
It doesn't matter how much you get. Transactions are not love.
Yeah. They're not.
It's not an exchange. It's a flow.
It's not like I can buy this love.
No.
It's not like I can own this love.
No, I can't control that love.
Yes.
Well, also, if you are,
when you get it,
if you are not loved and you are trying and you're working hard, let's say you start dating somebody and you are so excited about this person. You love them, love them.
Yeah.
Everything about them. And then suddenly they're not, it's not working. It's hard, but drop it, move on. Because
kind of true.
Because that is wasted energy and it's wasted time.
Well, that's you're the one giving it.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I think the key point is that exchange requires an equal and honest and willing contribution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Equal, honest and willing.
Isn't that the way to live life? Equal, honest and willing.
Mm-hmm.
Because also here's the thing too.
You can't will something into someone.
Yeah. I don't think you're always going to be, it doesn't mean you always have to be on your A game. I think that sometimes, you know, like in relationships, the equality is an ebb and flow. Like today I'm giving more, tomorrow you're giving more, but we're still cycling together. Mm-hmm. We're still flowing and being there.
So this is okay. And she goes on to say, if you go on living as though other people are required to give you love, you will never actually experience it.
That's so true.
Oh, yeah. Because like you said, you've got to give it to receive it. Mm-hmm.
Because it's the flow and connection that is the love, not the getting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not or giving.
And as hard as it is, if you are giving and not receiving,
it's still not there.
And sometimes, maybe it's not even personal.
Yeah.
You know, so if you start dating somebody and they're not like giving you, or maybe they stop calling or whatever, like take a deep breath. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not maybe about you even. It's just the connection, the energy flow isn't there, whatever.
Exactly.
Move on because you will find somebody else. There is someone else out there who you will have that give and receive.
And I just want to say, like, that scenario, for instance, I'm just going to take it a step further. Like sometimes we make excuses for people.
We do.
Like, oh, you know what? They were just having a really bad day, and that's why they left me out of it. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, like, when you have a really bad day, like, you're going to go to that person that you have that connection with, and you're going to exchange
that
love.
And you're going to open up the receipt.
Don't make excuses when people aren't giving you love in return.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's that connection's not flowing, and that's not on you.
I watched this Instagram reel.
Make them give it to you.
No.
Yeah, I watched this Instagram reel where this girlfriend asked her boyfriend, she says, so how do you know – you know, someone's not into you. Mm-hmm. Like how does a girl not know? And he says, well, if they, you know, don't call you, if they stop calling you. She's like, what do you mean by that? And he says, well, you know, if you are trying to get a hold of this guy and he doesn't get back to you all day, and then you ask him later, why didn't you call me? And he says, well, I just wasn't around my phone or whatever. He's like, no. If he was into you, he would have his phone. And the second you texted him, he would have gotten back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't get back to you all day or until the next day, don't make excuses for him.
Do not make excuses.
Because if he's into you, he would have called you.
Yes and no. I mean, I get that to an extent, but like I don't live with my phone next to me. Like I don't. But you guys know that about me.
Effort.
Yeah. But... No, not. I mean, like, I'm not. I will definitely mark, because, like, you guys know that Bob and I texted like 2,000 times, and that man is the busiest man on the planet.
Yes, because if you are expecting somebody, maybe.
And I've already, I've already gotten a text from him this morning. You know, good morning, gorgeous. Yeah. You know, guys. So.
Yeah, but okay. And lastly, I'd like to close it off with, in every stranger on the subway, 3-date-long relationship, 6-year love affair, that was almost it, and everything else. All of these different loves become equally important. The pain of losing transmutes into the beauty of having discovered something more important than someone who can promise you forever. I love that. Like, even an exchange with someone on the subway. Because you know what? A complete stranger, like, a nod and a smile, or just, you know, holding the door open for someone.
A connection.
That's sharing love. When someone does that for you in return and you say thank you.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite way to live.
It feels good, but also we're learning all the time about connection.
Yes.
Whether it's just a casual encounter or a 6-month or a 30-year relationship.
So I have to tell you something cute. Yeah. So I've been doing Bible lessons with Robert every morning, and I know I'm the girl who just talked about spit and swallowing, but
hey, you are well-rounded, Valerie.
But we were talking about, you know, King Solomon. We were talking about, like, words of wisdom, you know, the Psalms and all those things. Uh-huh. And it was cute. So we were going through them all, and he basically just gave, you know, it was a kid's Bible that we're reading and stuff. And so we were going through, we were talking about, like, our favorite, and it was the bits of life, all of his stuff, and that he, you know, the Psalms and all of the words of advice and things were basically just about connection and kindness. Connection and kindness and awareness and things like, and so it was really cute. So Robert's favorite one was basically when picking people in your life, are like, if they're not kind to animals, they won't be kind, you know, like, so if they're not kind to animals, move on. You know?
I think that's so great.
That's very telling.
If you're not kind to animals, then you're definitely not kind to humans.
In the thing, it was just sort of like when you're picking the people to keep close to your heart and stuff like that, people who aren't kind to animals, move on. Yeah. You know, like, look for people who have loving connections. And it was talking about, look for, if you want to have a happy life, look for good.
So
you will find what you're looking for.
The one question, because that's what this is titled, that we should really say to sum it all up. If you are pitying yourself over how little love you are getting, stop to ask yourself, how much love are you giving?
That's true. Do you seek to create connections with others? And are you the first person to smile and hold the door open?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? If you smile and hold the door open for 10 people, 8 of them are going to smile back at you and say thank you.
And they're going to pass that on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a vicious love cycle.
So keep on loving people. If you run into the 2 that don't say it, smile back.
I love that on that note.
Go give some love.
Spread the love.
Don't expect to get it.
No. It's okay.
Just be okay.
But
giving.
You will if you're giving it all the time. You
it's
will get love too.
Yeah.
It's going to show.
That's how you fill your cup.
Yeah.
Fill your cup by filling others. Yeah. And choosing to be around those that reciprocate.
Yes.
Yep.
Like these lovely ladies.
Yes. Oh, I love you guys.
No. I love that. I love this book. I mean, it's got so many other great reads too, but like that's
okay.
Love centric like we are. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you for asking that.
And
I know that was a very good.
Yeah, that was really good. So keep sending us the stuff. And you should, when you send in stuff to us, we've had some readers say that, you know, they've had to submit twice. So when you are sending stuff in to us, you will get a little, it'll pop up.
A message.
A message will pop up to you. So if it sends correctly to us, you will get a message that says, we will get back to you and keep listening for you know, more information. So we've had some people, some listeners who've sent things in who've said, it took a couple tries. So we're trying to fix that on our end and we will get that resolved, but you will get a message. So do know. And keep sending stuff in because we love it.
Yeah, I know.
Loveletters.com.
Love letters.
What
questions? All of it.
And if you are interested in us reviewing a book you've written,
it's been really fun.
We've done a couple of those, which we love.
Yes,
And those will be airing later.
It's all at our website. That's where you're going to find everything and links to socials. And we're going
to
be
Do we have links to the books that we have, like the authors that we've reviewed their books? We should maybe do that.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. Yeah. Then you can actually pick up the books that we're reading and reviewing. They're new. Usually, I think they're authors who've just
released stuff.
So that's super fun.
And I try to post like at least a month in advance upcoming books and movies so that people have the opportunity to like read or watch them before we talk about it.
And we're starting to put a little bit more quirky stuff just kind of about us on our Facebook page.
Quirky. If you want to get to know us just a little bit better.
Yes, that is available. Go to our socials.
That's right. Good stuff in there. So the next, I just want to share with you, if you do want to read in advance, our next book we're going to review is Becoming Mrs. Lewis.
Oh, this is Patty Callahan Henry.
And then I think we're going to watch. You guys, I'm really excited about this movie. Clueless.
Oh, I love that.
It's a romance from the 90s, you guys. I really want to know. We need to do a throwback. I really actually wanted to watch this with Libby. So I think she's going to love it. She's never seen it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear her perspective on it.
Maybe I'll see if she wants to join us.
Okay. Are we going to watch it together?
Let's watch it together.
Okay, let's watch it together.
Okay. Fun stuff. All right. Okay. So that's what's coming up. Then we've got actually – we're going to be interviewing Harry. The book is called Harry Harambee's Kenyan Sundowner. And that is by author Gerald. Oh, gosh, he's got three names. And I just turned off my phone. So I can't find it immediately, but I'll keep talking about it. Okay. And I'm excited to read this book
because
it's written from a male perspective.
Oh, I love those. We don't get enough
by
of those.
A male.
So cool.
And third thing that we've really wanted to find in a love story.
Yeah.
It's a second romance later in life.
Oh, I can't wait to read it.
That we don't often get to see.
Trifecta. We have been searching for this.
It's kind of a trifecta.
Yes.
So I'm really excited about reading Harry Harambee's Kenyan Sundowner.
Very
It'll be a great read.
And thank you.
Okay, thanks. XOXO.